say. Some of this shiur we did yesterday in part one. So we'll begin with a little bit of Chazara, especially about the Chidah, and then we'll continue weiter. Our most important source for today is going to be the second Teretz in Tosfos and Yevamos on Daf Zayin of an Aleph. So let's just give a little bit of background to the sugya in Rosh Hashanah, the sugya in Yevamos, and what Tosfos is bothered by, and what his answer is. His second answer is the one that we want to focus our attention on. The sugya in Rosh Hashanah establishes, in the name of Rav Chisda, a new principle, and that is Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. And keeping page 1 open for a second without losing the place, if you fast forward to page 3, which is from the Chidah, he opens up his presentation on this principle by writing that Misugyas Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Vav Muchach Dahavi Dvar Torah. And I think what he's trying to point out is that although Rav Chisda doesn't quote any pasuk, you know, usually if you present a principle, certainly if it's Doraisa, it's Minani Mili, there's no Minani Mili here. Rav Chisda is just coming to answer a question. You know, why is it that the Kohen doesn't wear Big Day Tzav when he goes Lifnai V'Lifnim, but outside of the Kodesh Kadoshim, when he does the Avodah, he can wear Big Day Tzav? Says the Chidah, despite that fact, there's no Pasuk, there's no Minani Mili, it's Doraisa. And how does he prove this? I think he proves it from the fact that we're passing a Shofar Shel Parah on Rosh Hashanah. This is not some sort of Psul D'Rabbanan. And not only that, Rav Chisda is trying to answer a question about the very nature of the Big Day Kahun of the Kohen Gadol Yom HaKippurim. We're dealing with Doraisas here. We're not dealing with some sort of Takana or Gzera.
Or Minya.
We may want to extend the principle of Ein Kategor Nasa Negor beyond the confines of the Doraisa, but nevertheless it is Doraisa. Now, if I were to ask you, why is it that the Kohen Gadol does not go Lifnai V'Lifnim with Big Day Zav on Yom Kippur? I mean, if you hadn't seen Rav Chisda, what would your answer be?
Because of the gold.
Okay, that's Rav Chisda's answer, but if I were to ask you this question and you didn't know Rav Chisda's answer, what would have been your answer? What should you have said? Exactly. You should have thrown me out for asking the question. And the Pella here is that this is what's called, who remembers the famous issue that appears all over Shas? And there are two opinions on this issue.
Darshina.
Exactly. Darshina and Taimi the Kro, Lo Darshina and Taimi the Kro. And basically, we accept la halacha that lo darshin in time of lekra, and certainly you don't derive new principles doraisa and extend them here and apply them here. The Torah doesn't specify which shofar is kosher, which is possible, but you came up with a very nice explanation to why the Kohen Gadol doesn't go lifnai v'lifnim with Big Day Zav. Very nice. You want to say a drasha? You know, you're going to be a scholar and resident in a certain synagogue. Say a drasha. Wonderful, but you know, Rav Chisda is not giving drashas over here. You know, this is not the synagogue, United Synagogue of America, or whatever it is. This is a doraisa, and we're going to apply it to shofar and pasul and shofar shel. So the pella here is that if you know we didn't have the chidah, maybe we would have somehow, I don't know how exactly, we would have carved out a shita that this is only drabanan and it's not doraisa. But if we're standing on the shoulders of the Chidah, and I have to admit that it's hard to disagree with him, that we're dealing with a Doraisa here, what do we do with the principle of Lo Darshin and Taimi the Krah? Again, when I say Lo Darshin and Taimi the Krah, you know, the Sefer HaChinuch is almost totally dedicated to Taimi the Krah. Mishar Sheh Mitzvah, every single one of the Tayag, what's the Shar Sheh Mitzvah? And he says a Svara. So why do we count the Omer, says the Chinuch, to connect between Pesach, Geula, and Matan Torah? Fine, I can also say a Svara, I can also say a Drasha. But I don't mind, you know, the Shivim part of the Torah, and certainly Pardes includes Drush as well, but although that's valid in a Shia for Talmud Torah, or maybe a speech before Musaf to inspire the call, but you don't derive d'oraisas and hear a psul shofar based on a drusha, darshin in time of the Krah, to therefore to derive a principle that is going to have halachic implications. So I was thinking to myself, maybe you could say the following. Einachinami lo darshin in time of the Krah. But all over Shas, the Gemara says, Ibai Seima Krah, Ibai Seima Savara. So I remember they say in the name of Rav Shimon Shkaf, one of the great Rosh Hashivas of Litha before the war, that he asked the question, what do you mean Ibai Seima Svara? What do you mean Ibai? You have a Krah, that's a Doraisa, but a Svara is not Doraisa. So he said the answer is that Svara is Doraisa. Maybe the Svara of Rav Chisda is independent of Big Day Kahuna. Big Day Kahuna is nothing more than an application of that Svara. The Svara itself is a Svara Doraisa. It's a Dover Poshut, a Dover Borer, it's fundamental. Ain't Kateger not Sanegar. A Kateger can't be a Sanegar. You need Sanigaria, don't take a Kateger. It's just that Svara is a Svara Doraisa. What Rav Chisda was really saying was, not that I'm going to derive from the psul of Big Day Zav in the Kohen Gadol, Lefnai V'Lefnim, a principle of Ein Kateger Nasanegar. What he meant to say was that here's an application that can answer a question of a Svara Doraisa. The Svara Doraisa is Ein Kateger. And therefore, we're going to apply that svara wherever we can and wherever it should be applied, even if it means we're going to come to conclusions about doraisas. So what I'm suggesting, just in a nutshell, is that although it's true, ain't darshin and time of the crow, we don't start looking for time of the crow. But on the other hand, we have something called a svara doraisa. A svara doraisa means that this is the way the Torah operates. And for that, I don't need a pasuk for that. Ibai seima krah, ibai seima svara. What Rav Chisda did was, now he fleshed it out. He said, if there is such a svara doraisa, let's see how it applies. First of all, it can reconcile a contradiction between the Big Day Zav that are excluded, lefnai v'lefnim, are acceptable outside. And secondly, we're going to derive conclusions about which shofar is kosher on Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah. Fine. But now, what is the scope and when do we apply the principle of Ein Kateger Nasa Sanegar? So if you went through the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah here on Daf Chavav, can I test you on that? Can I quiz you? How many conditions can you set for me, can you formulate for Ein Kateger Nasa Neger, based on what you saw in the Gemara? Anybody? Don't be embarrassed, we're all amongst friends. Mitch, what are the conditions?
Carbon was clothed.
Okay, carbon, that's excellent. Bal Yakriv, carbon. And can you give me another word for carbon? Because I think we may want to extend it even beyond the carbon. I was looking for a different term. Kapara. Because Kategar is antithetical to Kapara. The apex of Sanigaria is to stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam in whatever action or whatever tefillah you have to request the petition for Sanigaria, for atonement for Bnei Yisrael. In fact, the Gemara in Masechet Makis that we learned together says, why do we wait for the death of the Kohen Gadol to allow the Rotzeach B'Shogeg to go out? And the Gemara says, because maybe the Kohen Gadol was responsible for not preventing a situation that's going to need such kapara as a Rotzeach B'Shogeg. The Kohen Gadol's most important, I would say, job, his responsibility, is to bring kapara to Klal Yisrael. And how much more so when he goes lifnai for lifnai. So that's the first condition. Bal Yakruv. What's the second condition? Bais Noi. We need Noi. I mean, the only question is, what does Shofar has to do with Noi? So here we have machlokas between Tosfos on the one hand, and I would put Rashi on the other hand. The Ritva is actually on the side, I think, of Tosfos here, maybe not for the same exact reason. But basically, both Tosfos and the Ritva assume that Noi is a precondition for Ein Kategor Nas Sanegor. Ah, you'll ask me, where is a shofar Noi? So Tosfos writes over here, shofar misna bekolt kios. I don't know what that means. So if anybody has pshat, please tell me. But in any event, I see one thing in Tosfos, that shofar has to fulfill these conditions, and it's got to be noy. Next, what's the third condition? So we have now hakrova, we have noy. What's the third condition? Lifnai? Lifnai v'lifnim, correct? Now you'll ask me, okay, the Kohen Gadol is lifnai v'lifnim, what does that have to do with shofar? And the Gemara comes up with this very bombastic chiddush that shofar is l'zichron kai, and therefore k'lifnai v'lifnim dami. So that's what we have. And all this leads us to a, shall I say, a combination between another sugyan brachos and a Tosfos in Masechta Yevamos. Okay, so we have the background now. What we know is that there are three conditions that have to be met in order to apply the principle of Kategor. And by the way, the one who seems to backtrack on this is Rashi, because Rashi says that shofar is not lisnoya, shofar is not bal yakriv, but shofar is lifnai v'lifnim don. And therefore, when the Gemara finally establishes the third condition, it drops the ball on the first two conditions. That's Rashi's unique sheet. But even so, we're going to try to prove from a Tosfos in Yevamos that Ein Kategor Nas Sanegor applies even outside the Kodesh Kadosh. In what case? This is part of a series that we've been learning for a long time. Nesias Kapayim. In the case of Nesias Kapayim, it's going to be an unbelievable Tosfos. He's going to apply the principle of Ein Kategor Nas Sanegor to passel a particular Kohen, and you all know who we have in mind, which category we have in mind, from Nesias Kapayim, based on the principle of Ein Kategor Nas Sanegor. And don't tell me that Nesias Kapayim took place in the Migdash, and that's what Tosfos has in mind, because even in the Beis HaMikdash it wasn't Lifnai V'Lifnim. And how much more so, Tosfos is establishing Halacha L'Doros, which we'll soon see is codified by the Shulchan Aruch, by the Ramah, that applies outside the Beis HaMikdash entirely. With regard to the mitzvah d'oraisa of Birchas Kohen, Nesias Kapayim, fine. So this all begins with a sugyan brachos, which you'll see on the top of your page 2. Amar Rav Yochanan.
Where is this?
This is on the top of your page 2, line 3. Okay, and this is a statement of Rav Yochanan. And Rav Yochanan is building himself on a pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi. So let me just, by way of introduction, let me quote to you the entire pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi. The Gemara only quotes part of the pasuk. So you'll see on the Mesoras HaShas, on the left side, it says, "Ubeprischem kapechem alim einai mikem gam ki tarbu tfila eineni shomea Yedechem Domim Molev." So the opening phrase in this pasuk is certainly reminiscent of what? Nesias Kapayim, is it not? And the last phrase in this pasuk is Yedechem Domim Molev. And that's, I think, a very good introduction to the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Kohen Shaharges hanefesh lo yisas kapof shenemar yedechem damim mole. Again, the Gemara doesn't spell out how does Rabbi Yochanan know that this pasuk is referring to Nesias Kapayim. It just says in the Gemara, it just says yedechem damim mole. But the answer is the opening line in the pasuk. We're talking about Prisas Kapayim. That is a reference to Nesias Kapayim. So the conclusion that we would draw, if not for Tosfos and Yevamos, is that there's a psul of Kohen Shaharges HaNefesh as far as Nesias Kapayim, and that psul is derived from a pasuk in Nach. Again, you might wonder, how does a pasuk in Nach teach me a psul regarding a mitzvah d'oraisa? Nach is only the divrei Kabbalah. Okay, I can give you a couple of different terutzim, but what I'm more interested in is the approach of Tosfos. Now, a little bit of introduction to what goes on in Masechta Yevamos. There's an entire sugya on Daf Vav Amid Beis in Masechta Yevamos about the mitzvah of putting a capital violator, a capital crime, putting him to death on Shabbos. And the Gemara here on the top of Daf Zayin Amid Aleph wants to generate a kal v'chomer that would lead us to the conclusion that Mises Bezdin should be implemented even on Shabbos. And this is despite the fact that there are violations of Malach on Shabbos, but for the sake of the mitzvah putting someone to death who has to be put to death, we are going to do so even on Shabbos. And this is based on the Kal V'Chomer. Now, in order to appreciate the Kal V'Chomer, we have to know that there is one mitzvah that for sure is Docha Shabbos. Which mitzvah for sure is implemented even though it entails the Malach on Shabbos? Correct, Karbonos, Avoda. Avoda, Olas Shabbos B'Shabbato, entails undermining at least one Malach, probably many different Malachos. And there's an entire chapter in Shas that's dedicated to that in Masechta Menachos, Kohen Gadol. And now, Rabbi Shmuel, and now the Gemara wants to set up the following kal v'chomer. If, for the sake of putting a rotzeach to death, let's see the kal v'chomer inside. Uma avoda shi chamura, avoda is more chamur than Shabbos. And how do I know that avoda is more chamur than Shabbos? V'doche Shabbos. So if we can be doche Shabbos for the sake of avoda, okay, that's an interesting hierarchy. This sounds like the Gemara at the beginning of Megillah, for those of you who've ever learned that Gemara, right? The whole hierarchy. Now let's compare the mitzvah of putting to death a capital criminal to avoda, which is more chamur. Meaning, let's say we had the following conflict. We have a Kohen HaOved, and we need his Avoda. We'll soon see the Tosfos embellishes this. There are no other Kohen available. He's the last of the Mohicans. And on the other hand, we have to put him to death. So which takes precedence? The mitzvah of putting him to death, or putting this Kohen to death, or allowing this Kohen to implement the Avoda? And the Gemara uses that as a prism to weigh putting this person to death and avoda, which is more chomer, because we know that avoda is more chomer than Shabbos. If we can prove that putting this capital criminal to death is more chomer than avoda, then ipso facto it becomes more chomer than Shabbos, and that's going to prove that this mitzvah is docha Shabbos. How do we know? Again, no questions now, Rabbi, because again, otherwise we'll never get to the point of the Shia. I'm just giving you a little background so that you have a little taste. But the main thing is that Tosfos says that the Gemara in Brachos is predicated on Ein Kategor Nasanim. I'm just going a long way. I should have gotten a short way. But so the Gemara says the following: Ma avoda shi chamura v'docha Shabbos. Ritzicha docha osa. For the sake of putting to death this criminal, we are going to waive the avoda. We're going to vitiate the avoda. Shenemar me'im mizbechi tikachenu lamus. We're going to take him out and put him to death, even though he's about to implement the avoda. And Tosfos points out, if you take a look, afilun ein sham kohen acher haroy avoda. This is the last kohen that we have. Is therefore Shabbos shenidcheis mipnei avoda, ein odin shetehei ritzicha docha osa. Okay, so if you take a look at Rashi on the top of the page on Daf Zayin, he says ritzicha docha osa, meaning ritzicha is docha the avoda. Shim haya rotzeach kohen v'rotze lavod avoda avoda. So here you have a rotzeach who's condemned as a rotzeach and he has to be put to death, but he runs into the Beis HaMikdash. He's ready to go up the steps of the Mizbeach and implement the avodah is bezdin sholchem umevin al solamus. We're going to put him to death. Why? Because that's docha the avodah. And how much more so should that be docha what? Shabbos. The Tosfos says v'im tomar v'dilma hasam lav mishum diritzicha dachya avodah. Who told you that the reason why we take this kohen off the mizbeach in order to put him to death is because of the mitzvah of putting him to death? Maybe what's going on is something totally different. Me'im bizbechi tekachenu is a different reason. And what is that? Mishum de gavra hu delo chazi. This gavra, this kohen, is not roi la'avoda. Kidamrinan, and I prove this from the Gemara in Brachos, that the Gemara establishes kohen sh'horeg nefesh lo yisas kapov shenemar yidechem damim moleu v'kolshken avoda. He adds v'kolshken avoda because you might counter argue, right? Yomo baldin v'yachlok, and he'll say, wait a minute, the case in Masech de Brachos is not a case of avoda, it's a case of Nisias Kapayim. But Tosus establishes a kolshken, his own kalvachomer, not the kalvachomer vasugya, that if this coin is posel in Nisias Kapayim, how much more so that he's posel le avoda. V'yesh lomar dal karchach chazi. He's saying the following. We don't say that based on this pasuk being mizbechi tekhen lamus, that he's not royal avoda. Why? Because again, although it's true that l'chatchila we won't allow him, we won't permit him to do the avoda, correct? But nevertheless, be the evidence if he did implement the avoda, ein mechal avoda. In other words, the halacha of mizbechi velo me'al mizbechi, etc., is a chumra, he says, that prevents us, or we should prevent him, the Kohen, from doing the avodah. But it's not halacha psul. It's not mechal el avodah b'di'evit. Velo yisa es kapav chumra bi'almahu. In other words, l'chatchila, of course, we want to be machmir, we want to avoid a Kohen shaharag from doing the nesis kapayim, doing the avodah. But it's not enough to passel the avodah b'di'evet. And here, our sugya says Tosfos, which is a more complicated point, but it's addressing the issue of the avodah b'di'evet. We're desperate to have the avodah, and therefore let this kohen, even though l'chatchil we would never allow him to do so, but for the sake of the avodah, there's no other kohen, we should let him go. You know, let him implement the avodah. No, we can't do that. Why? That's what the Gemara establishes here. That Ritzicha is more chomer and it's docha the avod. But now let's look at Tosfos' second teretz. This is really the punchline of today's shiur. V'od dafka lo yisas kapa. Now Tosfos backtracks and he wants to suggest that there's a separate halacha that a kohen shaharag es hanefesh is posel l'nesias kapai. And it may not have any bearing on any other dimension of the responsibilities of the kohen. And why is that so? Dafka lo yisas kapov lefisha hargo biyodo v'ein kategar nasa sanega ukirichsiv. In other words, don't think midichsiv, don't draw the incorrect conclusion that we drew when we learned the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan in Brachos, that the psul of a kohen shaharag es hanefesh l'nesias kapayim is derived from the pasuk in Yishai. Nein, it's derived from the principle of ein kategar. The pasuk itself substantiates our conclusion, but it's not the basis or the source for the din. So now the question becomes, and this I think is what's bothering the Chidah, if you take a look again on page 3, once we've established the various conditions based on the conclusions of the sugya in Rosh Hashanah, and these conditions have to be met in order to implement the principle of Ein Kategor, how does the Gemara, according to Tosfos' interpretation, extend or apply the principle of Ein Kategor to the case of Nesias Kapayim? Which of the conditions, if any, are fulfilled in the case of Nesias Kapayim? Even if you'll go with Rashi, who understood in Rosh Hashanah Chavav, that the Maskanas HaSugi is we can drop the conditions of Noi, of Bal Yakriv, and we're left with one single condition of Lefnai V'Lefnim, even that condition is lacking in the case of Nesias Kapayim. So again, without Tosfos and Yevamos, I have no argument here, I have no kasha, and then I wouldn't have a shiur for today, right? But now that we have Tosfos, that the pasuk of Yodechem Damim Aleihu is not the source and the underlying reason for excluding this Kohen Shogas HaNefesh from the Nesias Kapayim, but rather the application of the general rule of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar, now the Chidah has a really good case. Why should it be so that Ein Kategor should apply to the Nesias Kapayim? Lo mi boy, according to Tosfos and the Ritva, who insist that it's got to be Noi. Somehow Shofar is Noi, don't ask me how. Or it's got to be Bal Yakriv, right? That there's an element of Kapara, right? That the Kohen is coming with Lefnai V'Lefnim to achieve Kapara. Even the Shofar is a Machaper to some extent on the Yom HaDin. But to assume that Nesias Kapayim is Bal Yakriv, it's Bal Yisnoi, and it's Lefnai V'Lefnim, is that's a Tzorach Yungon. Shamati Makshim, it's about seven lines down from the top. Do Amrinan Hasim B'Rosh Hashanah, Amrav Chizdom Ibnei Ma, Ein Kohen Gadol Nichnas B'Big Dei Zov, Lefnai V'Lefnim L'Avoda Avoda, L'Vishe Ein Kategor Nas Sanegu, Parfa Yika, Big Dei Zov, Bachutz, Umi B'Fnim Ka Amrinan, we require Mi B'Fnim. What is this here?
Lechain,
lefi zeh should be. Ulefi zeh. Yeah, I have a misprint here, I guess. Ulefi zeh. Ukifi zeh. Maybe kifi perish zeh. Okay, good. Whatever it is. Pirshat Tosfos. The kaimei. Benesias kapayim. Dahavi mi bachutz. No. I don't know what the Chof pays. That should be some sort of kasha. He's saying, Tosfos says that Nesias Kapayim is Bachutz, is Maiko Amri de Ein Kategor. How could Tosfos apply the principle of Ein Kategor to Nesias Kapayim Bachutz? Hamina Dainu Dafka Lifnim Varayim Mi Big Days of Mi Bachutz. Okay. If it works for you, take it, John. Oh. Chidah gives an unbelievable answer. I'm so thrilled with this answer. I hope I understand him correctly, because if not, I'm going to give this answer. But I think this is what he means. Vani b'anyi.
Where is this?
Oh, it's about 12 lines down from the top. I don't know, I'm not good at counting. The first word in the line is Zohav. But this is the Zohav mibachut, so don't worry. Don't get nervous. Vani b'anyi, Oz, when I heard this kasha, Amarti, I said the following. The Ein Kan Kusha. That's a very strong statement when the kasha is really a very gewaldige kasha. Why is it no kasha? To ha di amrinon, to mi bachutz lo amrinon, Ein Kategor, hainu kimin kategor shehu zov. What does he mean, min kategor?
It's not exactly the same thing. It's using something.
Say it a little better, Shom. It's not the. What is he not using here? In the case of Big Day Zov, in the case of Shof Shofar, what is he not using? I'm looking for a title. He's using a min, but not what?
The min is Atzmo.
What do you mean by Atzmo? Atzmo shall what? in our terminology, the Heftza of the Avera. He's not using the Heftza of the Avera. You know, we're not taking the Egel Azov itself inside the Kodesh Kadoshim. What we're taking is Zav, or Shalpara, which somehow reminds us, because it's the Min, of the Avera itself. But it's not the Heftza Shel Avera. That's what I think the Chida means here. Do you think he means it? Let's read it again. The Eikar Kusha, because what? The Gemara itself requires Bifnim. Why does Gemara require Bifnim? That's because it's Kemin Kategar, right? It's the Min. It's not the original Heft of the Avera, but it's the Min.
Yeah.
Correct? The Min.
Yeah.
Ukshumino vieno hu atzmo, then oz yesh lechalek bein mi bifnim li mivachut. So at what point does the halacha passel this mitzvah, because we can traverse that distance between the min and the chefta atzmo, when it's lifnai v'lifnim. The lifnai v'lifnim somehow allows us to make that jump from the min all the way to the Heftza Shel Avera. It's as if he entered in lifnai v'lifnim with the Heftza Shel Avera, because lifnai v'lifnim is a place of lizikaron, right? That's a very profound, intense relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and there it's already a kategor if you bring in the min. But that requirement doesn't apply if you have the Heftza of the Avera itself. Onamim hu atzmo akategor. If he's using the Heftza shel the Avera, and that's what qualifies here as the kategor, ein chiluk bein pnim lebachutz. And here the Chida has a beautiful raya from Yerushalmi. So let's go back to page 1, the Yerushalmi and Lulav Hagos. Now the Bavli tells us that a lulav hagazel is possible because of mitzvah bavavir, but the Yerushalmi has a different approach. And Yerushalmi, which is the next to the last source on your page 1, has a mashal. It says, "Amar Rab Levi, zeshu notel lulav gazel lemaudome." This person who takes a stolen loof, what does he remind us of? How can we compare him to another scenario? Li echad shekibed es hashilton tamchui echad v'nimtza mishalom. So the Korban Eidah says, v'nimtza shatamchui, that's what he's giving the, you know, I have a great gift for the king. Right? And he gives him a tamchui, some sort of beautiful, cooked kugel. Okay, I was going to say chillin, but you know what? The king might be a Sfaradi, so we'll give him chamin, whatever we give him. And he says, "V'hu mishel melech," you know, like Yeshikayach. You know, that's very nice. You're bringing back what's mine. You know,
re-gifting.
It's almost as if the king is insulted by this. You know, what kind of game are you playing? You know, you want to buy me a beautiful gift, you know, get me something that's stunning. You know, you were out on a trip to the far, you know, the Far East, and you brought me back something but you're giving my own stuff. Oh, now the Korban Eidah has a challenge, right? This has to be the mashal to explain the psul of lulav hagazel. He says the following: kach hagazel. You're giving back to the king what's rightfully his. Why? Hu ki'ilu hu shel HaKadosh Baruch. And he quotes a chazal: kol hagozel machaveiro ki'ilu gozel me'HaKadosh Baruch. Now, God gave this object to Reuven on loan, but it really belongs to God himself. Now Shimon steals it. He's really stealing from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? L'Hashem Ha'aretzim Alon. Is Machzir La Nigzal, the Nigzal I think here is the Ribbono Shel Olam, if I understand the Korban Eidah, Mash Nilkach Miito, what was taken from him, because Kilu Gozel Me'HaKadosh Baruch. Okay. Amru, I'm going back to the Yerushalmi now, in the Nimshal, Elo Lazeh, sort of like, what is he accomplishing here? What, you know, woe to him that he's shaking the lulav gozel. Shenase sanigoro kategoro. Now he wants to come with the dalid minim, says the kabbalah, lizchusam shel Yisrael, which is a kind of kapara concept, or shall we call it at the very least a sanigoria concept. So the lulav, meaning the dalid minim, is the sanigoria, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shkoyach, you're giving me back what's mine, what's rightfully mine. Is Hareu Maskir Avono Shehu Shel Gezel.
That last line doesn't mean, doesn't imply it has anything to do with the fact that it belongs to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's still a Aver of Gezel, even if I said it didn't belong to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why do I need the part it's that I'm giving back if the Maskir Avono of Gezel is because I took it from him, not because it belonged to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the last part of it doesn't seem to support the need to say it belongs to the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the first part.
I hear. Excellent question. I don't know the answer right now. Let me think about it. But what does the Chidah want to derive from this Yushalmi? If the Yushalmi is disqualifying Lulav HaGozel, why? Because you are taking the Cheftah Shel Avera, the Gozel itself, and using it, or trying to use it for Sanigoria, is Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegar. The Kategor itself cannot serve as Sanegar. Frankly, Chidah, it's outside of Lifnai V'Lifnim. I mean, in the case of Shofar, the Gemara says it's Kilifnai V'Lifnim, don't we? We don't know that Lulav is Kilifnai V'Lifnim.
It's the Cheftah.
Oh, the answer is that the Cheftah Shel Avera is automatically disqualified for Sanigoria, even if it's outside of the Kodesh Kodesh. That's what I think that he does. Saying over here, he says, V'chein Amr B'Yushalmi, and he quotes all Yushalmi, and he doesn't go through the whole spiel, but I think that's what he's saying. In the next piece of the Chidah, again, this is a gigantic piece, you could probably spend a week on this Chidah, he uses this breakthrough to justify a distinction between Avodah Zarah and Shfichas Damim. He wants to suggest that perhaps in the case of Avodah Zarah, we have this concept of a min, but in the case of Shvichas Damim, it's got to be the Cheftz itself. So in any event, what I want to do now for a minute, if I could take a minute of your time, is to go back to Tosfos and Yevamos and perhaps read into the Tosfos this Chidah. Tosfos is claiming that the psul of a Kohen Shaharges HaNefesh, which is formulated in Brachos by Rabbi Yochanan for Nesias Kapayim, is based on the principle of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. But I think there's an extra word or two in Tosfos. Let's see. Tosfos says the following. The Ode, Dafka Lo Yisa Es Kappa, if we're applying the rule of Ein Kategor, then it's a special halacha here to passel this Kohen Shaharges HaNefesh from Nesias Kapayim. Why? Lefisha Hargo Biyado. Now I know you'll ask me, well, what if he killed him with his ear? I don't know. But Hargo Biyado, he says. And why did Tosfos have to add those two words, Hargo Biyado, especially the word Biyado? He could have just said Lefisha Hargo. Exactly. I think he's identifying the Yadayim as the Cheftah Shel Avera. The Cheftah Shel Avera is the Yadayim. And that's what Yeshayahu I know he wants to emphasize. Yodechem Domi Maleu. I mean, the Dom itself is on you, Yodayim. Now take these Yodayim and achieve the Sanigoria of the Nesias Kapayim. That's unacceptable. Now, Rabosai, I'd like you to turn to a tshuva of Rav Ovadia Yosef, which I think you'll have on page 6. No? Yeah, page 6. Now, in order to appreciate this tshuva of Avad Yosef, we're going to take a look at the top of page 6 and see how the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramban and the Mishnah Berurah codify this Gemara in Brachos, this halacha of Rabbi Yochanan, that a Kohen Sheharigas HaNefesh is excluded from Nesias Kapai. So this, of course, is in Siman Kuf Chav Ches, which is the Siman that basically we've been learning after the last month. Kohen Sheharigas HaNefesh Afilu B'Shogeg Lo Yisa Es Kapo.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Even Bishogi. And then he says, Afilu Asa Tshuva. I mean, that really rubs you, you know, that's very harsh. You know, he did Tshuva, and he's possible Linesias Kapai. Yeah, we'd like to believe that it's one of the fundamentals of our faith, that Tshuva works for everything. There's nothing that's left out of tshuva. Again, you have chiluki kapara, it's true, but tshuva itself creates a shame tzaddik. It doesn't work. It's not going to help to reinstate this kohen for nesias kapayim. And the Ramah adds, but the yesh omrim, the imasa tshuva nose es kapov. Now, Rav Avadia Yosef is focused on car accidents, Rachmana Litzlan. Reuven, the driver, killed someone in a car accident. And he wants to know if Reuven is a Kohen, whether he's disqualified henceforth for Nesias Kapayim. Kohen Shayanoig Bimchonit V'garam Lituna Katlanit Ha'im Rashoi Lisa Kapov Bibirchas Kohenim Levarech Es Yisrael. Of course, as I think we would have done based on the sources that we've seen, he starts with Rabbi Yochanan Masechet Brachos. And Rabbi Yochanan's breakthrough halacha here is codified both by the Rambam and by the Shulchan Aruch. But here he has an Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah in turn quotes the Rav Yo. And the Or Zeruah says that this halach of Rabbi Yochanan, Kohen Shaharigas HaNefesh Lo Yisa Kapov, only applies in the case of a mezid, but not in the case of a shogeg. And furthermore, if this Kohen does tshuva, and the implication seems to be that even if he was amazed and he did tshuva, he could be reinstated for Nesias Kapayim. If that be the case, then the Rav Yoshita would be that yes, that a tshuva process would reinstate and re-qualify the Kohen Shaharigas HaNefesh. Not only that, but it would certainly imply that we have another way of answering the question that was asked here, the Shela, in an affirmative way. I'm Rishoy Lisa Kapov, yes, based on the fact that this driver was a shogeg. If, on the other hand, the driver was amazed, then we have the Rav Yod to fall back on, that even in the case of amazed, tshuva will be effective. And if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah assumes, in the context of the Ramah's comment, the Yesh Omrim, again the Ramah says, the Masa Tshuva no se kapov. The Mishnah Berurah in Kuf Choftes says, Tam Deazu, the Sfirle, the Afal Pish, Eilucha Dover, Omei Vipnei, He says that the reason why tshuva is not going to help is because of the principle of Ein Kateger Nasa Sanegar. You know, I would have added a footnote here, or a Sharet Zion here, to Ayin Tosus Yevamus the Ode, meaning Tosus' second understanding. And maybe this emphasis again on the word Yadayim, which we saw already in Tosfos, would be a further application of the principle of the Chidah that if it's the Chefetz of the Aver itself that wants, that has to serve as the Sani Goryo, then it doesn't matter whether it's Lifnim or Bachutz. And therefore, Afal Pishas and Shuv. Now look in the Bir Al-Locha, and he writes that Le'inyan Dina, we're going to the second left-hand column of the Bir Al-Locha, Ramah Pasek Lahakel. There are more paskins that Tshuva reinstates the Kohen. And that's the end of the Ramo, who says, Yesh lo hakel al bali Tshuva shal lin al deles bifnehem. Says the Mishnah Brura, Bir Halacha, Vahainu afilu b'meis. Now this Vahainu afilu b'meis is not universally accepted. And in this tshuva, Rav Vadya Yosef points out that even according to the Ramah, who accepts tshuva to reinstate the Kohen Shehariges HaNefesh, might not go as far as the case of a mezid. And therefore, if you take a look in the second paragraph in his tshuva towards the bottom right, he says, Nireh, Shegam benidon shalonu, shakoin oyenoeg berechev, vigaram liyavadon nefesh mi Yisrael. Even in our case of someone who unintentionally killed someone on the roads, he says, wait a minute, what exactly happened over here? He says, Nag bebehiris mufrezes. Again, every case, every scenario is different. But take this scenario for the moment. He was speeding. He didn't pay attention to the traffic lights or the stoplights. Lalos leduchin velisa kapa bebirchas konim lefisha ein kategu nasasanig. Meaning, even if you want to go with the approach of the ravya, and you want to be more lenient in the case of a shogeg, and even if you want to suggest that he's possible as long as he didn't do tshuva, but once he does tshuva, he becomes reinstated. All of those kulos will apply in the case of a shogeg. But this case, he says, is shigigoso ola zadon. Yeah, I guess in Hilchus Ari Mikla, we would call him Karav Lemezen. So let's just summarize what we saw so far. If we take the kul of the Ramah, that tshuva works, we're not 100% convinced that tshuva can reinstate the Kohen, even in the case where he killed someone b'mezid. We're not sure about that. The Mishnah Berurah in Bir Halacha assumes that tshuva works even for mezid, but that's not universally accepted amongst the poskim. And Rav Vadya Yosef is going to quote with his erudite scholarship a whole list of poskim who will assume that in the case of Mezid, Tshuva will not reinstate the Kohen. And therefore, Rav Vadya Yosef wants to differentiate between two categorically different situations of Tu'unot Drachim, of fatal car accidents. One is a case where, you know what, somebody jumps out in front of my car or something, or it was dark and I couldn't have possibly seen him. Maybe he jumped the light, not me, the driver. As opposed to a case where someone violates the laws, the regulations that control motorists. In the first case, call him a shogeg. You want to tell me he's a kohen who's possibly out l'nesias kapayim, fine, but if he does tshuva, we can accept and reinstate him, but not so in the case of a person who violates the law and is responsible, nidon kemezid, for killing someone. that already comes under the law of Mazin, and the Machaber says that tshuva doesn't work. The Machaber goes as far as to say that tshuva doesn't work even for shogeg, but even if the Ramah is correct, that tshuva does reinstate the Kohen, but nevertheless, by Medvar Mamurim, that's only b'shogeg, but not necessarily b'mezid. I say not necessarily because that's going to be an issue in the poskim. So therefore, in the paragraph that starts ulam, he says imlo haisa kol rashlanut mitzido shalanahag. If we don't have a situation of, what word am I looking for, Rabosai?
Negligence.
On the part of the driver. Rather, he was careful in his driving. And unfortunately, tragically, someone, he says, a child jumped out and was killed. He says, if it's a case of ones gamur, that's another machlok. See, there's so many different issues here. You could have a flow chart here. He says that even if you're assuming that, like the Mechaber Paskins, a shogeg is enough to engender a psul of Yodechem Dora Malayu, but that's only if it's a shogeg. Shogeg entails what? A certain element of negligence. But if it was anus, that's not what the Mechaber has in mind, perhaps. And he says, Elio Rabakos, Abshib Shogeg Akarv La Onus Yesh La Hakel. The Rashai Lisa's Kappa, and he quotes the Magin Giborim. Who do we say was Magin Giborim, Yechiel? Just remind me. No, the Magin Giborim. Remember, you researched
it. When he put it in parentheses, it's Shilta. No?
No, I don't know. But who is the Magin Giborim? What's worth mentioning?
Yeah, we did look that
one. It was one of the Gedolim. I forget who it was.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the Prima God. I don't remember who it was, but one of the Gedolim. Oh, it can't be the Prima Gadim, because he says, Avol Prima Gadim. Avol Prima Gadim, because of the fact he's not sure about it. Ve'hela da'afilu bi'ones yesh la'achmir l'chatchila shelo yisa es kapha. So he wants to suggest that maybe we can create some sort of a sex faker in a case where the Kohen was not negligent as a driver, and on top of that he did tshuva, so we could say that, you know, one suffix is whether tshuva works or not, it's effective to reinstate the Kohen, and although the Mechaber, and for the Rav Avadya Yosef, that's Kodesh Kadoshim, but nevertheless, the Ramah, and many poskim accept the Ramah, even amongst the Sfaradim, there are some poskim that accepted the Ramah, so tshuva works. To boot, we might say that the Mechaber only passes a shogeg with negligence. So if we can combine those two, is yesh lahakel al bali tshuva, lahatil lo lalas the duchen lisa kapov, vizot bistameach al divrei ravya and others, shem chaz b'tshuva no se kapov, plus we have the possibility that if there was no negligence, it's karov liones, and therefore he's not called a shogeg. And if you look towards the bottom of the tshuva, the end of the tshuva, he writes, Ke'en svek svek. Hashem ha'alocha ka poskim she tshuva mo'ilah. Because again, it's not just the Ramah, it's a whole bunch of poskim who accept the Ramah. The imtim tzalom sh'alocha kipsak moran ha'shulchan orach. Hashem ha'alocha kidas ha'liyo rabov ha'magin giborim. She b'shogeg ha'karv li'ones nosei kapov. But the impression you get is that if he was really guilty of serious negligence and he violated the law, then even if he does tshuva, Rav Avadya Yosef is going to have to go back to the psak of Maran for Sfaradim and say that the tshuva is not enough and he can no longer duchen. But if it's a case of shogeg, and certainly if it's shogeg karvli ones, so we have the possibility as Ashkenazim to rely on the Ramah and reinstate him if he does tshuva. He was not amazing. We have the possibility of suggesting that if it was Karov Leones, then even the Mechaber would say he's kosher for Nesias Kapayim. And basically, in a classical case of shogeg, halakha lemaisa, it would seem it really depends upon the Ashkenazim and the Sfaradim. Does tshuva work to reinstate the Kohen? According to the Mechaber, no. And according to Rambam, yes. And the Mishnah Berurah is really bothered by this. How could it be that tshuva is ineffective? And in order to get out of this problem, the only way is to invoke the Tosis in Masechet Yevamos, which he doesn't quote explicitly, but I think he's referring to it, that the psul here is a psul of Ein Kateger Nas Sanegar. And that, and only that, could justify the psak of the Mechaber that tshuva doesn't work. Because Ein Kateger Nas Sanegar. Now, I would like to suggest the following. That perhaps within the category of onus, we could subdivide, we could break down the concept of onus into two categories. And what am I trying to gain by this? Is it possible that onus would qualify for nesias kapayim, even if I accept the rule of Ein Kateger Nasa Sanik? What I mean is the following. According to the Chidah, Ein Kateger Nasa Neger applies in the case of Nesias Kapayim, V'Kohen Sh'Argas HaNefesh, because the Yodayim themselves is a Cheftah Shel Aveira. And I'm wondering, is that really so? Perhaps it depends upon two categories of onus. What I mean to ask is there a Maisa Aveira here, a Maisa Ritzicha, in the case of onus? Now clearly, even if a child jumps out, Chas V'Shalom, there are, you know, you can take particular care. Again, I remember when I took driver's ed, if anyone is old enough to remember those days, they told us that, again, it was a pretty extreme, you know, course that they gave, but obviously they're hoping to scare the living daylights out of you, so they take it to this extreme, hopefully that maybe you'll make it to the middle. So they trained us, and they demanded of us to imagine every possible scenario, meaning don't assume that Yenim, who's either a pedestrian or he's another driver, is going to abide and fulfill the laws. That don't make that premise. Don't assume the worst. Anything can happen.
Pedestrian's always right.
Okay, maybe the pedestrian's always right, but certainly the driver could have been even more careful. Now again, you know, there may be nuances of cases where, you know, he's driving even below the speed limit, you know, he's particularly slow and somebody jumped out. I mean, maybe there are actually circumstances that could make this onus into what I call a hafkas maaser tzicha. And it's not even a maaser tzicha, it's not even your daim malayim dam. But assuming that he could have prevented it, then it still is a Maaser Ritzicha. And he has to do tshuva, and if we apply the principle of Yodeichem, of Ein Kateger Nasa Neger, based on the Chidah's definition, tshuva is not going to help to reinstate him as a Kohen, as we saw in the Mechaber. But there may be another category of onus, which even the Mechaber, even implementing the principle of Ein Kategor, it's not Yodechem, because it's not what? It's not a Maisapir.
I'm just thinking of a situation where somebody forces me off a second story balcony and I fall on top of somebody and kill him.
Excellent. Now, Yisrael, I disagree with you, but it's an excellent point. No.
I'm not saying anything. Just
I'm just proposing
a situation.
Tosis in Masechet Sanhedrin wants to know the following. You remember this toast, I think we've discussed in the past. Somebody puts a gun to your head and he says, we're going to push you off a roof, a second story roof, whatever it is, and you're going to crush a baby to death, and if you don't allow us to do so, we're going to kill you. And Tosa says, you don't have to do anything. There's no Yeharik Val Yavar here. The principle of Yeharik Val Yavar doesn't apply. Tosa says, because that's not a Maaser Ritzicha. At least that's the way Reb Chaim understood the Tosas, Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. The first Reb Chaim in the Sefer. And I would suggest that in that case, you are completely passive. Who's going to push you off the roof?
The other guy.
The other guy, yeah, the guy who's pushing you off the roof. He's the rotzeach, not you. In such a case, I have no question in my mind that such a Kohen, if he were a Kohen, would be kashal in a Sias Kapai. But what about the following case? Someone puts a gun to your head and says, you kill Shimon or I'm going to kill you Reuven. Now what does the halacha require in such a case? He, Reuven, has to give up his life rather than pull the trigger and kill Shimon. And that's one of the three cases of Yeharik Val Yavo. And there's no din of a chaybahem that would remove the chiyuv to avoid ritzicha and the obligation to uphold the law of lo sirtzach. So my question to you is as follows. If let's say Reuven went ahead and to save his own life he killed someone, is that called a maaser ritzicha? And the first nafkamina I want to present is, do we punish him? Should he be put to trial as a capital case of murder, put to death, because it's ritzicha? I'm assuming it was a devasra, the whole nine yards, right? So if you're familiar with it, the Rambam in Perek Hei Mehilchus Yisodei HaTorah says that in such a case, we don't punish him. Again, he did not fulfill the mitzvah of Bechol Levavcha, right? It says, right, Bafilu Levavcha, Filu Notel, it's Nafshecha, Bechol Nafshecha, excuse me. But nevertheless, for non-fulfillment of Bechol Nafshecha, we're not going to take his life. And we're not going to kill him under the law of Ritzicha. So I think I heard once from my Rebbe Zichron Levracha of Salvechik, that he said that the Rambam is based on a pasuk in Parshas Ki Tetzeh. The Torah there is addressing the case of a victim of rape, a married woman, a murasa, mureses, and the Torah says, "V'lanara lo sased dava." And here, the Rav told us that Rav Chaim, his grandfather, took very sharp opposition to Rav Kiva Eger. Rav Kiva Eger said that what does the pasuk mean, "V'lanara lo sased dava"? It means that she is a participant in Gilui Arayos, but we cannot punish her. V'lanara lo sased dava is hafkas onshin.
Is what?
Hafkas onshin. And Reb Chaim went ballistic on this, and he had kama v'kama rayos that v'lanara lo sased dava is not just a hafkas onshin, but it's even hafkas meister. Which means that it's not considered your mice. Reb Kiva Eger, interestingly enough, in a different tshuva, accepted the concept of hafkas maisa with regard to a katan. If a katan implements a maisa avera, Reb Kiva Eger was of the opinion that it's not a maisa avera at all. A katan is not capable of a maisa avera. And once again, Reb Chaim disagreed with him. And Reb Chaim said, "Nay, a katan is capable of a maisa avera. A katan is just hafkas onshin." And he had an interesting proof, Reb Chaim, from the parsha of Shifcha Charufa. The halacha is that if you have a chetzi shifcha, chetzi baschorin, and a man, a Jewish man, has relations with such a woman, he has to bring a karbon. That's the carbon shifcha charufa. And the halacha is that even a katan is chayv to bring that carbon if he's ben teish ashan, if he's royal and bishop. So Reb Chaim asked the following question: how could you be chayv this katan to bring a carbon if, according to Reb Kiva Eger, a katan doesn't even have a maisa avera? So, if without a maisa avera, what generates a chiyuv karbon? Is Reb Chaim proved from the halacha of katan ben tes and shivcha ruf? I think he had another proof as well, which I don't remember, that a katan is capable of a maisa avera, just that he's potter from onch. So, let's understand Reb Chaim's veltanshak. On the one hand, Reb Chaim understood that if I commit an avera, in this case, with tzicha under duress, in order to save my own life, although I have violated the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, but nevertheless I'm not called a Rotzeach, not just because the Torah says I can't punish you, but because it's not considered a Maisa Aver. That's how Reb Chaim understood V'lanara Lo Sasadom. But on the other hand, Reb Chaim held that a katan is capable of a maisa avera, and there, if you want to apply the principle of lanar lo sasadavar, that's Reb Kivega's approach. That's afkas onshim, but the maisa avera is capable. I'll be with you, Shalom, in just 1 minute. So why did I give this whole shiur? First of all, I think it's a good shiur. But secondly, because I think that in terms of the Chida's definition of the Mechaber's Psak, that a Kohen Shaharages HaNefesh is posul l'nesias kapayim, even b'shogeg, and even if he does tshuva, says the Mishnah Brura, because of Ein Kateger Nasa Negar, and we saw this already in Tosfos and Yevamos, the Chida would say, because his Yodayim is the Heftzer the Avera. The Heftzer that implements the Avera is the Yodayim, that becomes a Kategor, even outside the Chodesh Kadoshim. But I would say that depends. Is the Yodayim, do we consider the Yodayim a Heftzer Shal Avera or not? That depends on this Chakira, whether ones is afkas onshim or it's afkas maisavira. If we can take the halacha of lanar lo sasadavar one step further, way Reb Chaim wanted to take it, and say it's not just afkas onshim, but an ones is not considered a maisavira, then this halacha of ein kateger nasa neger doesn't apply here. In the case of mezid, in the case of shogeg, it's ein kateger nasa neger. Why? Because these Yodayim have implemented a Maisa Ritzicha. But in the case of Anus, and again it depends what kind of an Anus, but if it's an Anus such that a person was compelled at pain of death, even though again he's Chayav Mishum Yarev Al Yav, but to implement this Maisa Ritzicha, if we assume that that's Afkas Maisa, then perhaps the Halach of Ein Kateger Nasa Neger would not apply. If not, for the Machaber, and Machaber again is standing on the shoulders of the Rambam who came before him, if we take the Ramah and the Rav Yoh who came before the Ramah and assume that the psul of Kohen of Rav Yochanan, Kohen Shehargas HaNefesh L'Nesias Kapayim, is based on the evil that he perpetrated, that, and that's the reason why if he does tshuva, we can reinstate him, because the evil engenders a shame rasha. And where, Abose, do we find that the shame rasha of a Kohen, I can only ask you gentlemen this question because we've learned it together, that the shame rasha of a Kohen disqualifies him for Nesias Kapayim? Abose, what was the case that we spent a lot of time on? Let me repeat my question. Forget about Kohen Shaharages HaNefesh, but where do we discuss this issue at great length?
Shabbos.
Okay, excellent. And the Mishnah Berurah of Shabbos predicated himself on what case? What was the paradigm case where the Gemara says in Menachos that he's posel in the Nesias Kapayim? Oved. Avodah Zarah, you got it off. I knew you would remember it. A Kohen was Oved Avodah Zarah. And if he was Oved Avodah Zarah, he's possible in Nesias Kapayim. The Gemara assumes an equation between two types of Avodah. There's the Avodah on the Mizbeach, where a Kohen Shavod Avodah Zarah is possible. And there's the Avodah of Nesias Kapayim, which is also called Lavodah L'Shares. And Rabbi Yonasan derives from that the psul. Rabbi Nosson derives from that the psul of yeshiva. Right? You get lamod l'sharis. Is the same thing applies as far as avodah zara is concerned. The kohen avodah zara, Oved avodah zara is posel l'mizbeach, and he's posel also for nesias kapayim. The Mishnah Berurah took it one step further, and he understood that there's another individual who fits that level of rishus of an Oved avodah zara. What other avera in the Torah is equated by the halacha to avodah zarah? Shabbos, Chol Shabbos Farhesia. As the Gemara says in Chulin, you cannot accept the shechita of a shochet who is over avodah zarah. You cannot accept the shechita of a shochet who's machal Shabbos Farhesia. They're both mumrim. Mumar means Rishayim, and a Mumar is Pasul Shechita. That's the Gemara in Chulin Daf Hei. Says the Mishnah Berura, if that's the case, given that analogy between Avodah Zarah and Shabbos Befarhesya, to the same extent that a Kohen who is Ovid Avodah Zarah is Pasul in Asiyas Kapayim, so too a Kohen who is Mechal Shabbos Befarhesya is Pasul in Asiyas Kapayim. The Rav Zichron Levracha said in the name of his father, Rav Moshe, that that's not so. Rav Moshe was not in favor of this Mishnah Berura, because Rav Moshe was of the opinion that the psul of Kohen Sha'avad Avodah Zarah is not the psul of Mumris. Haraya, even if he does tshuva, he still remains posel, which is reminiscent of the Machaber here. Then the Machaber here says that a Kohen Sha'arges HaNefesh, even if he does tshuva, is posel l'nesias kapayim. Why? Because it's ein kategu nasenegar, it's not the psul of rishus and mumris. And therefore, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was of the opinion that a Kohen Machal Shabbos Farhesi, although he's a mumar, but he doesn't have that unique psul of Oved Avodah Zarah. And the same thing would apply here, that the Ramah assumes that Kohen Sha'arges HaNefesh is an implementation of that concept, which the Mishnah Berura, you know, waves that flag of Mumris, that a Kohen HaMumar is posel l'nesias kapayim, and therefore, if he does tshuva, the Ramah is right, we can reinstate him because he removes the shame Rosh and the shame Mumar, and now he's a tzaddik. The Machaber on the other hand is operating with a different kind of a psul. Just like we saw Rav Moshe Soloveitchik operates in Kohen Sha'avad Avodah Zarah with a different category of a psul. It's not the psul of Mumris. Tshuva is not going to help to reinstate the Kohen Ovid Avodah Zarah. So too the Machaber with regard to Kohen Sha'arges HaNefesh, he's not operating within the framework of Psul Mumris and Psul Rishus. Haraya, even after he does tshuva, he still remains possibly cannot be reinstated. It's a separate psul. What is that separate psul? Ein Kategu, which we interpret based on the Chidah to mean that these Yodayim are now a Chefta Shal Avera and they cannot be used as Sanigoria. And therefore we come to the conclusion that if Lu Yitzuyar, the Kohen Sha'arges HaNefesh, was not culpable and liable for Maisa Avera, Maisa Ritzicha, then in Chinami the psul of Ein Kategor Nasanega wouldn't apply. And therefore, if the Kohen, who is a motorist, he obeyed all the laws to the T, and maybe even beyond, and something happened beyond his control, maybe that's not called the Maisa Ritzicha. Maybe we could apply the principle of Reb Chaim, that Valanar Lo Sasidav is Mafkia, the Maisa Ritzicha. And therefore, on both sides, I just want to end the shiur, when Rav Sachnutz and I have discussed this topic, with a pilei ploim, a psak from Rav Soloveitchik, that even a soldier in the army, if he's a Kohen, is posel aduchnin. And again, I can't, ein meshivin esari shalom b'fanav, but if the Rav was here, and he didn't throw me out of shiur for this, I would very humbly disagree with him, and I would say the following, that this is not a Maisa Ritzicha. A person goes out to battle. He's doing a mitzvah. Now again, in Tzal, I have no problem with saying he's doing a mitzvah. And if it's Mechias HaMolek, I have no problem. But what about the case of the Polish armies against the Czech armies? I don't remember which war it was anymore. And unfortunately, one Jew killed another Jew. And it happened more than once. It's such a Kohen puzzle with this. I don't know. I have here a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein, parts of which you have in Orach Chaim. I have this tshuva in Yoredeya. Where's the tshuva in Orach Chaim? What page is it on? Page 5? Yeah, it's on page 5. But I'll just read to you what he says here in Orach Chaim, and then we in Yoredeya, and we can compare this to what he writes in Orach Chaim. He writes, Ubidvar, meaning referring to your question, Kohen Shenilkach Litzava, Be'esa Milchama,
Sorry, where are you reading?
I'm sorry, I didn't photocopy this for you. I only photocopied 6 pages for you. I apologize. I should have photocopied this as well. He says, "Bidvar koin shemilkach litzava." He's not talking about tzal here. "Bi'esa milchama." "V'horeg nefashos b'milchama." I think he's talking about a scenario where one Jew, you know, crossing enemy lines, kills another Jew. I mean, how would he know whether he's Jewish? And even if he is Jewish, I don't even know what would you do in that case.
It would make a difference because you killed the guy.
So Rav Moshe is of the opinion, and this we'll see in the tshuva, in a lot of the literature here, which we didn't go through. Unfortunately, we couldn't cover all 6 pages. But if you get a chance, and you have nothing to do over Chag HaShavuos, go through the 6 pages, and you'll see that although the machlokas are poskim about the kohen shaharag eino Yehudi, whether he could be no seis kap, the final psak is, and it's accepted by all the poskim, is that he can be no seis kapo. But he's talking a case, I think, where he killed another Jew. Partial, he says. And he's going to repeat this word over and over again. Like, you know, there are cases in which Rav Moshe gets very tzehitz. You know, he's hot under the collar. Partial, he says. Shekosha lisa es kapo. And I'm wondering if I could fit my chiddush into the words of Rav Moshe. Damafurash to be ansu larog, if he was compelled, what's the word I'm looking for? Not compelled, if he was under duress, already for lack of a better word, is no seis kapo. If he was ordered to kill someone, and he quotes a pri chadosh to that effect, he says, "Vi af al gav de hasam hoya din di a harig val yavar." I'm begging the Rav Moshe to say this word of Havkas Maisav Ritzicha. He says, "Al kolpon kevan di anusu, the eno nenash." That was my disappointment here. That was anticlimactic. Eno nenash mikra devlo nara lo sasid dover. Who's eno? Who's interpretation of the answer of Kivega? He says, "Yachal lisas kap." Vimkane, Kolshkane. You know, if you have a case of someone who was under duress, he killed someone. And Valanaralo Sasadov is part of all onshin, and therefore according to Rabosha, he's Koshaluduch. And then Kolshkane Benilkach Litzava, Shahadaraba Mukhuyov Lelech Litzava Midin Malchus. What does he mean, Midin Malchus? Dina Malchus or Dina? Interesting that Dina Malchus Dina generates a chiyuv mitzvah, right? He says mechuyuv. I guess he means mechuyuv mitzad mitzvah. Otherwise, he could be what did they call it back in the time of Vietnam? The descent. What was it called? The conscientious objection. Kolshkein v'nilkach litzov v'shadar mechuyuv leil litzov v'din malchus v'lo osa shum isur rashoi u'mechuyuv lisa as kapov v'udavar pashut u'bar. He didn't know about his relative. Okay, it's complicated how they're related. People think they're related because the Rav's mother was a fine sheep. That's not exactly how they're related. But anyway, the Rav and Rav Moshe were related. They had a very close relationship. Very close relationship. Well, the Rav always had a kash. He says he never understood why they called Rav Moshe Feinstein the Rosh Hashiva. That's how he was called in America, the Rosh Hashiva. He was Rosh Hashiva Tiferes Yerushalayim. And me, they called the Rav. He says it should have been the opposite. Rav Moshe Feinstein is the Rav, he passes Shilas, and I'm the Rosh Hashiva, he says. Meaning Rosh Hashiva is interested in theoretical, conceptual learning. But he says, Dover, Pashut, Ubarur, a person goes out to battle, and I would say, Kolshkein ben benoshel kavachomer chayal in tzahal. So even though the Rav again is quoted here as saying in Nefsharav that he would passel such a kohen who killed the enemy in battle, and he says beferish there in the language of Rav Herschel Shechter that it was a case of tzahal. It was tzahal. Yeshal milisma. We could be some kind of Moshe. And there's no way, no how. It's pashut ubarur that a chayal in tzahal who killed somebody, again, if he killed the enemy. Now there are tragic situations where, you know, enemy fire. I mean, I have a Talmud who actually killed a chayal in his pluga in a training accident. I mean, imagine the life that he lives for the rest of his life. He's a Talmud of mine, very close Talmud of mine. In that case, you know, Yesh Lodu in here, if, and he happened to have been a Sfaradi, whether or not he can do him. He wasn't a Kohen.
The Rebbe was talking in case of the enemy who was Jewish.
He's talking about the enemy who's Jewish. And nevertheless, he's kosher l'kohen. But not in Tzav. Oh, you're talking about the Rav or Moshe, sorry.
I'm sorry.
The Rav is talking about Tzav, Chayal Tzav killed the enemy.
Who was he?
No.
So he's talking about a guy.
You're right. He's right. Just give me a minute. Anyone who has to leave, should leave. I want to bring Rav.
The Rav, this was a Paschal decision. The man for 70 years.
Let me just read the language. He writes, Rabbeinu, which means the Rav, Noag. Oh, just I'm on the wrong page. Sorry. Sorry, I had it here. Now I lost it. Oh, here it is. He says like this: Kaimel and the Kohen Shargas and Nefesh Lo Yisas Kapo V'Rabenu Hayas Savur. Interesting Savur. Shav Chayal Betzal Shaharag Michayalei HaOyev. Obviously a non-Jew. B'Mako Mitzvah Gam Kein Posel in the Sias Kapayim. U'Bekeshel Azeh. Right. So the two chidushim here that are very controversial in the post-game, and very questionable in the post. Number one, he was involved in a mitzvah which I claim Dover Poshin is of course my Savera. That's beyond shadow of a doubt. You know, you can clare about the case of Adar Olosas the Dover, someone puts a gun and says kill him or not, but certainly not in the case of Chayalei Tzav. And the second issue is he killed a guy. This is just a marshal. Even though David was involved in Melchamos against the enemy, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know, your hands are full of blood, you cannot build the base on Mikdash. Again, that's not a tzusha. Yeah. He's not equating it, but just illustrating it.
It sounds
that's the whole business.
Yeah, that's part of a shir. And he may have said it in the shir, goes as far and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But as a psak halacha, like what Moshe does for a seaboard, you have to think of other aspects as well.
Right, I agree with you. And that's why I think Rav Shechta adds the words Rabbeinu Hayas Savur. It was a svara d'nafshin. And the only way I can understand that svara is with Ein Kateger Nasanegum. Because again, if it's Rishus, you can't tell if it's someone who's doing a mitzvah is possible with Taurus Rosh. It just doesn't make any sense at all. But again, we have a source in the Mechaber. Now the Rav doesn't raise the question of tshuva here, because how could a chayal do tshuva for what he did? It was a mitzvah. And the Rama says that if he does tshuva, even if he killed the nefesh b'mezid, possibly that's the way the Mishnah Berurah understands in Bir Halacha, he's reinstated as a kohen. So, like, it's the oddest thing in the world. If we're going like the Rama, who allows for tshuva, then Koshke Nechayal who killed Moshe Mitzvah, you know what I'm saying? The whole thing makes no sense. The only Hava meaning here to accept the Rav's Psak would be if you accept the Mechaber and you assume that Tshuva doesn't work, and if it has nothing to do with Rishus, and then it's Ein Kateger, it's a separate Psul, okay. That shouldn't have any impact on us if we accept the Ramah, technical point. But even if we do accept the Ramah, we had a long discussion here that the Ramo would agree in a case of onus that there's no psul. Kolshke in a case of a mitzvah. And we wanted to say that even in the case of onus, when he failed to fulfill, live up his obligation of Yehari Val Yavah, nevertheless, it still not cause my Savera, and that's why it's part of Monch. Okay, Rabbo, so it's very interesting. Again, we didn't cover all that's here.